This is the UCLA Mindful Weekly Lecture. Each week, Diana Winston, or one of our UCLA Mindful teachers, offers a talk about mindfulness to deepen our understanding and cultivate well-being. Thanks for joining us.
So we've had a request about the how to use mindfulness to work with pain. And I'm hoping the person who requested is here today. I forget who it is. I'm so sorry, but you'll catch it today. If not, you can catch it online. So the topic is using mindfulness, essentially, to change our relationship to pain. First of all, I want to be really clear that mindfulness is not a promise that pain will disappear. It is not, we don't be mindful of pain in order to make it go away. And pain itself is real, it's complicated, it's sometimes unavoidable. And I'll be primarily focusing on physical pain, but it's also emotional pain as well. So mindfulness, it can help, it can reduce pain often. But most importantly, it offers a way to change our relationship to pain. So when we think about, we can think about how pain is an experience of suffering, of something that happens, an unpleasant physical sensation. And suffering, as we've often talked about in the past, is the pain plus the resistance, the fear, the rumination, the catastrophic thinking, and so on. So we'll talk about different angles of working with pain and how we use mindfulness, because there's a lot of good use of mindfulness and pain, including good research. In fact, pain was one of the very first things that was studied when they started doing mindfulness research in the 80s. There was a study done in 1985 with Jon Kabat-Zinn, who most of you are probably familiar with, and it was with it was with 90 people who were dealing with chronic pain. And the legend has it, I don't know if I have 100% certainty that this is the case, but the legend has it that these were people who had been, he was at the University of Massachusetts, and they had gone to all the different doctors to work with pain, had all these treatments, and nothing was really helping. So he offered a 10-week mindfulness-based program that later became mindfulness-based stress reduction, MBSR. And it was for people with chronic pain to see if mindfulness could be a way to work with it. So what that study showed is that when people went through the 10 weeks, it reported improvements in present moment pain, negative body image, activity restriction, mood disturbance, anxiety, and depression. This is like amazing results that they had. And so this study is important historically because it establishes mindfulness as a potential intervention for chronic pain. However, it was a very early study and it didn't have the methodological standard we would expect today, but it's really foundational for the field. So then there have been many studies. In fact, pain is probably, I think, of all the different areas that one could study, one has used mindfulness in clinical settings, pain is the big one. It has the most robust research. I'll give you just a little smattering of some of the other ones. This was a study done in 2011 with people who participants got 4 days of mindfulness training, and then they were pain was experimentally induced. I don't exactly know what they did. It sounds awful, but they were like given pain. And then they compared that to people who just rest, the mindfulness intervention with people who were just resting. That was the control. The people who practiced mindfulness, the pain intensity decreased about 40%. And the unpleasantness, the way they viewed the pain, decreased approximately 57%. And they saw that with brain imaging. So it was pretty interesting, a very interesting study. This is by someone named Zaidan in 2011, that mindfulness wasn't simply distracting people. It appeared to change how the brain was processing sensory aspects of pain and the emotional unpleasantness aspects of pain. And then last one I'll mention was that in 2016, they did MBSR, mindfulness-based stress reduction, versus CBT, cognitive behavioral therapy, for chronic low back pain. And this was with about 300 people, and they were randomized to the MBSR program, the cognitive behavioral therapy, or whatever is the usual care. And it was an 8-week program. And what they found was that both of the MBSR and the cognitive behavioral therapy produced greater improvement than the usual care in pain and physical functioning, and even benefits showed after a year. This is interesting because cognitive behavioral therapy is also a treatment used for pain, and so it act so they worked equally well. So I don't want to claim that, oh, mindfulness is the only solution when we're in pain. You have to do this one, right? This is it's people want mindfulness for different reasons, and they might want CBT. So people don't like a CBT intervention. They prefer doing mindfulness practice. But just to say that is mindfulness is definitely, looking at all the research, a legitimate evidence-based option for chronic pain. And then they've done big analyses looking at all the studies over the last 40 years, and they suggest that definitely mindfulness-based approaches improve pain-related functioning and psychological outcomes. And so this is great. And it's also not the only thing. So when they've used it, for instance, with people with opioid addiction, they used mindfulness for dealing with the pain, but they also used other kinds of treatments. So it's not a replacement for medical treatment. All right. So you have a sense of the very positive and interesting research. So let's look at what's happening. Remember, I said mindfulness. We talked about there's pain and there's suffering. That's one way to think about it. You've probably heard that quote, which I don't know, some people really object to this quote, but the quote is, pain is inevitable, suffering is optional. People object to it because sometimes suffering is not optional. And but it's just kind of like a neat way of saying pain is the actual injury, the illness, the headache, the arthritis, the chronic pain, right? It's unavoidable. It happened. You stubbed your toe, you woke up with a headache, you have are really sick. There's physical pain, it's unavoidable. And then the suffering is what the mind adds to it. So in previous classes, we've talked about the two arrows. The first arrow, that you get shot by an arrow and there's some physical pain. The second arrow is where you shoot yourself. And because you, and when you shoot yourself, your mind goes into fear, anger, resistance, catastrophizing, why me? I can't stand this. This is never going to end, and so on. And especially worrying about the future. And so that's a second arrow that we have control over. We can't stop the first arrow. The pain is inevitable. It's going to happen, or it's unavoidable anyway, in many cases. But the suffering, the stories we lay upon it, the second arrow that we shoot ourselves that makes us feel worse, that is something we do have control over. So, for instance, my back is aching. Ouch. So that's the first arrow. That's the pain. The added suffering might be, this is terrible. It's never going to get better. I can't do anything today. How am I going to get to work today? What if something is seriously wrong? What's wrong with me? Right? These are all the stories that we lay on top of the actual experience. So that's considered the suffering, or we can talk about it as the second arrow. Mindfulness doesn't remove the first arrow of pain, right? Mindfulness doesn't get rid of that necessarily. Sometimes by being mindful of it, it actually reduces the pain itself, because often it has to do with us tensing up around pain and getting overwhelmed by the pain. So it can reduce the first arrow of pain, but it doesn't typically remove it. However, it absolutely can help us work with the second arrow, or the suffering. So pain is more than a physical signal. Pain is influenced by sensory information. It's influenced by our attention. It's influenced by our emotions, by our memories, our expectation. It can be influenced culturally, how we culture, like our culture handles the pain. It can be influenced by history, context, meaning, right? That it's not just like pain is not just like, ouch, I'm in pain. There's a whole set of factors influencing pain. So the brain is not simply receiving a pain signal, but it's continuously constructing and regulating the experience of pain. So that's interesting because it also means that we can have intervention here. We don't just have to be stuck with, I'm in pain, this is miserable, my life is over. There's so many nuanced ways that we can become aware of pain and work with pain. So in terms of the way what people tend to do when we have pain is it's like a we globalize and we catastrophize. But the globalizing is like, oh, I'm in horrible pain, or my head is it really hurts, rather than investigating what is real, what's happening in the moment, and starting to use the wisdom that we have and the mindfulness and the awareness and the kindness to see what the actual pain experience is. So instead of my whole body's in pain, we can investigate the sensations in the body as a set of changing sensations. So, all right, my whole body's in pain. Well, where exactly? And as you start to use mindfulness, you notice that, oh, it's the whole right side of my body. It's not even the left side. And then, as you notice the right side of your body, you notice maybe it's fluctuating, it's moving from side to side, and maybe it has edges, and it's hot, it's cold, it's tight, it's pulsing, it's burning, it's sharp, it's dull, right? Pain has all these different qualities to it. And what's really interesting is when we can go from pain being monolithic, my whole experience, to pain is, a set of changing, interesting sensations. There's a lot of free, sorry, say it again, a set of changing, interesting, unpleasant sensations. Then there's a lot of freedom that can come, because when we start to globalize and go into these stories like, oh, I'm totally in pain. But with the mindfulness, we notice, oh, there's pounding, there's stabbing, there's pulsing, there's burning, that, right? And that the sensations typically when we're having pain do not stay the same. They move, they shift, they fluctuate, they increase, they decrease, and so forth. So they're not a solid, continuous experience for the most part. I mean, there are some pain that is like extreme that I'll get to chronic pain in a moment because it's a little bit of a different story. When we pay close attention, we often discover movement and variation. And as I said, it goes from this monolithic, overwhelming sense of pain to a set of interesting, unpleasant sensations that are changing within me that I can be aware of. Now, when we start to be aware of it, and I'll talk about this later with pain, you don't want to be like, I'm just going to sit here and be aware of those changing sensations. It's helpful to find other things to do as well. So noticing other parts of our body that are not in pain, and we'll do this, we'll do a practice with this in a little while. Parts of the body that are not in pain, sometimes listening to sounds and opening up can make us feel more spacious and help us bear the pain. Sometimes we'll go back and forth between a pleasant place and an unpleasant place. So there's ways of working with it, because the main idea is to notice the pain to the two levels. Notice the first level of the pain, which is the first arrow, what it actually is feeling. And then the second level is noticing the second arrow. What is the story I'm creating around it? So right now I'm talking more about the first arrow or the actual pain itself. So pain, as I think I said this, but pain may feel like a solid, continuous experience, but when we pay close attention, we often discover it has a richness and a complexity, and we can get curious about it. And we bring in the curious mind and the kind mind. We start to see it with, we start to have a little bit of relief. It's not so overwhelming. Now, mindfulness does not mean just accept the pain. Okay, because I think that's where there's some misunderstandings. People, they like, there's often this quality of inviting you to allow the pain to be here. See if you can just be with the pain. Don't resist. The second arrow is resistance, but acceptance doesn't mean liking the pain, giving up, doing nothing. It absolutely does not mean not seeking medical care or not taking medication or trying to change your circumstances. But this acceptance quality is recognizing that this is happening now and I can be with this. And we stop fighting reality. Because oftentimes I think when we're having pain, there's this, sometimes, especially when it's strong pain, it's like, why is this happening? This shouldn't be happening to me. I don't know if you ever feel that. Like when I get sick, why did I get sick? I got a cold. That's not fair. What's wrong? Right? Like it's I'm fighting with reality. And when I finally get to the place where I go, okay, I have a cold. It's all right, and I'll get through it. And that's a very minor thing. There's a little bit more ease of handling it. So rather than I shouldn't be in pain, it's more like pain is here right now. So what do I need? And that's more of an acceptance, but also active and possible responses of what you might need when you're in pain. And that, and this is not mindfulness, but this is other things you can do. When you're not fighting it and thinking something is wrong, then we often talk about enlisting the wisdom mind. The wisdom mind can kick in and answer the question, what do I need? Well, I need rest right now. I need to be in a room with the lights off. I need to call a doctor right now. I need movement. I need medication. I need connection. I need to ask for help, right? There's all these possibilities. But often, one of the things that pain does is it sort of narrows our mind and we can't see clearly. It's because it's awful, right? We're struggling. There's a lot of pain and we can only see a tiny, small vision. But when we can start to bring mindfulness to the full experience, the possibilities open up a little bit more and we can see things with more clarity. Okay, so one of the important mechanism in a mindfulness-based approach is psychological flexibility, like the ability to respond to difficult experiences without being completely controlled by them. So pain, one of the things that pain does is it, as I said, it narrows us down, it narrows our capacity, it narrows our understanding. And pain is like, you can't do anything today. You know, this is going to be this way forever. It just gets into these kind of patterns. And mindfulness allows us to see that that's what our mind is doing. And it creates a pause. So it gives us that opportunity to, you know, say what, like I'm experiencing pain, what matters to me today? And maybe take a different route. Like, okay, today I can't hike because of the pain, but what could I do instead? Maybe I could sit outside with a friend. I can't work all day, but maybe I can work for 20 minutes. I can't exercise the way I normally do, but maybe I could do some other kind of movement. So when we have pain, we're often limited, but if with clear seeing, we can choose what is meaningful. And so all of the mindfulness research I was talking about suggest that the mindfulness interventions can improve our acceptance of pain, but not, remember, not in that weird way, but like this is the reality of life. It can give us more psychological flexibility and help us with our functioning. And I think also, though, we have to be really careful because there's a lot of studies that need to be done. We don't want to overstate the findings. Okay, couple more points. Well, the first is about chronic pain because I don't know if I'm sure there are people who are on here. In fact, someone sent it into the chat that they're constantly in pain. Like there are many of us who struggle with chronic pain. Chronic pain is different than acute pain. The principles are the same, but chronic pain adds a whole other piece to it. So acute pain is, you know, you touch the stove, there's pain, you move your hand. It serves as a protective warning. Chronic pain is more complicated, right? Because chronic pain can persist after an original injury is healed. I mean, my understanding about chronic pain, I'm not an expert here, but just my understanding is that our nervous system can become desensitized, and the relationship between the original tissue damage and the pain is not always straightforward. So, there are many of us who struggle with chronic pain, including pain that we've gone to lots of doctors and they don't know what it is, or they dismiss us. And so I just want to really acknowledge that chronic pain is not imaginary, and it can be very real. It is completely real, even when without an obvious structural cause. So mindful, all of the tools that I've explained, and we're going to go through a guided meditation of how we might work with it, all of this applies to chronic pain. But chronic pain is, you're in a marathon, it's not a sprint. And so all of the skills that you can develop, like less preoccupation, less fear, more awareness, more ability to distinguish sensation, first arrow from thought, second arrow, this is all going to be helpful. And know that you have to bring in a ton of kindness for yourself, because dealing with chronic pain, it can be disheartening. And of course, when we're in physical pain, there's emotional pain that often follows it, especially when we're dealing with long-term issues. So let's work with the kind of basic skills. But I want to take, for those of you who are struggling with chronic pain, I want you to just acknowledge that it's like I said, it's more of a marathon, and it's to be really gentle with yourself here as you work on it. I think with chronic pain, people tend to have a identification of themselves with chronic pain, like, I'm a person with pain. I'm a person with chronic pain. My body is broken. My life is pain. My body's betrayed me. I can't do anything anymore. These are these very strong stories that we carry. Whereas with mindfulness, we can start moving from the story and the identification to, this pain is a part of me, but it's not all of me. It's something I'm experiencing. I can still have pain and joy. I can still have pain and connection and friendship. I can still have pain and humor. I can still have pain and meaning, right? So it's not to deny the pain. It's really important, right? It's not like we're putting on like a little fake smiley face and pretending we're not having pain. It's to place it within a larger field of experience and identification, so that pain is not all who we are. And this is, and this is easier said to and this easier said than done. But with mindfulness, we learn this process of non-identification, not getting caught and lost in our thoughts and our stories about ourselves and our emotions, our difficult emotions. And one of the things that we also can see is how we get lost in our identities. And that when we can find freedom from those identities. And in this case, like I'm suggesting, it's like an expansion, because we don't want to deny the pain. No, everything's fine. I'm great. That's nonsense. But that there's more capacity to the human heart, to the human body, to live even in a time, in a world of pain that one may be experiencing. So, as I've been talking about all of this, let's just kind of go back to, like, what's the goal? Like, what is the goal of this? It's mindfulness can reduce pain, can it? The answer is yes. Sometimes it's the research suggests moderate average effects with considerable variation. So it's not a bad prognosis around it. It's just not like, yes, if you do mindfulness, your pain will go away, especially if you've had chronic pain for 5 years. No, it's not like that. But what it does do is it can reduce suffering, which is often a more useful question. It's really our relationship to the pain. So I think in a lot of the studies, they would ask people, did your pain dissipate over this time? Yes. And they would get some, yes, moderately, and so on. But what people would report was their quality of life changed significantly, and their ability to tolerate the pain and be with it and feel like life was okay, even with it. That's where the higher statistical findings were. So we can go from so it's there is a reduction of pain somewhat, but more importantly, a reduction of the stories, the suffering, the resistance, the fear, the rumination, the catastrophizing, the identification, these things, lots of freedom. And this is huge, right? This is not a small, this is no small thing. And mindfulness can help us live more fully and live a better quality of life, even with the pain. So if you think of the metaphor of a storm, pain is sometimes like a storm. We can spend all our energy yelling, "Go away! This shouldn't be happening. What's wrong? Why won't it stop?" The storm doesn't care. If we just scream and yell, the storm does not care, doesn't listen. So mindfulness isn't going to stop the storm, but instead we notice the rain, notice the wind, notice the fear, the thoughts, the body, finding these moments of calm within the storm. And also this recognition that I am not the storm. The storm is happening in my experience, but ultimately it is a storm moving through me, and I am not the storm. I'm so much bigger than the storm, right? There's so much more to me than this physical pain. So the question isn't always, how do I make the pain disappear? Although that's wonderful when that does happen, and we would like that. It's also, how can I meet this experience with greater awareness, less resistance, and more freedom? Because sometimes the pain changes, sometimes it doesn't, but our relationship to it can change. And that allows our lives to become much larger than our pain. Okay, so that's my all my thoughts. I got to turn on a fan. I'm boiling as I teach, starting to sweat. So I'm going to pause for a moment and see if there's any questions about anything I said, and then we'll do a meditation, a pain meditation, to explore how what everything, putting it into action.
Can you hear me?
Now I can.
It doesn't allow me to put on my video. It doesn't.
Oh, strange. I don't know, but that's fine. You can just,
Okay.
Serena, can you check that out?
Yeah, I've had pain all my life, but it has gotten worse. I'm now 90 years old, okay? And I have both osteoarthritis and Parkinson's disease. And some other bone-related stuff. And your explanation here today was one of the best that I've heard. And I've studied a lot of this, but it has. Here we go. There I am.
Okay, great.
And I put together this with physical therapy and mindful awareness meditation almost every day. That's what my life is all about. But right now I'm feeling I'm one of those people who has taken the second arrow and decided to deal with it. And I can say that it does help. There is no doubt about it. And I've been doing this for years. So I want to thank you for that very, very nice exposition of your views on these topics.
Oh, thank you, Norris. I appreciate everything you're saying. I'm sorry that this has been a lifetime journey for you, but I really think it's amazing how hard you're working on it, and it sounds like it sounds like it's transforming in certain ways, even if the pain is still here, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Thanks for sharing that with all of us. Appreciate
And
it.
you're right about it moving. That's the mystery. It seems like I get on top of it in one part of my body, and then 2 weeks from then, it's back in another part of my body. So.
So interesting, right? I hear you. It looks like a lot of people are sending love, sending hearts, and wishing you well.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much.
Absolutely. Question, a pain adjacent question. What about other involuntary physical reactions that might occur in the fight, flight, freeze response? Do we think about them in the same way as pain? Mariel, I'm not exactly sure I understand your question. Are you willing to explain it a little bit more?
Sure. I was thinking about this is something I struggle more at this time than pain. I'm sure I have struggled with pain and it will come back, but like muscle spasms or like maybe not a full-fledged panic attack, but you feel your heart getting really tight or your guts clenching up times of stress, that kind of thing. That's what I was thinking of.
Yeah, I mean, all of that are like the principles that we're going to work with when we do the meditation in a minute are something you can do whatever the physical sensation is. And there are also things you can do with emotional pain as well. So some of it is not getting lost in the story, feeling it directly in your body. What are you experiencing? Noticing its changing nature. And even when you have something that's momentary, if it's there for long enough for you to notice it and then not get lost in the stories about it, you're going to be good, right? It's better because I think sometimes when we have like a quick response and it's intense, we start to go into, oh no, what just happened? What's wrong with me? But right, we want to watch the mind that does that. So it has similar, absolutely.
Thanks.
Let's see. We have Brenda said, I have been amazed that my scientific husband has found relief in breathing exercises in his recovery from immunotherapy. He teases me for all my woo-woo classes. That's great, Brenda. Good to hear. You know, whatever doorway in, that's fantastic. I'm so happy that he's doing well, by the way. I know you've shared that before. Sharon said, I may have mentioned before, but it was my physical therapist who noted that my pain response after ankle surgery was out of proportion to the healed ankle. He said that my brain had gotten set to a high level of alertness that was not needed anymore. Your brain can get you stuck. It helps then to get out of your head and into your body. Yeah, again, this is not my expertise, but there is my understanding that certain kind of like neural pathways get created around pain, and then there's something with the nerves, and it can like continue on far worse and far longer after something happens. And so yes, the different kinds of physical therapies to work with it, but also working with your mind around it as it helping it to shift. So. All right. Well, what I'd like to do is a pain meditation. And so we'll just do it's a guided meditation. I want to explore the different pieces to working with first arrow, second arrow, and bring in some kindness. Oh, there's a couple more comments. So let me get to them before we can do the meditation. High levels of alertness can happen. Hold on. High levels of alertness can happen with emotional stuff or trauma too. Oh yeah, absolutely. So when we have trauma, it puts the body on alert, and then with that, the body goes into fight, flight, freeze, and there's all sorts of, and then it can have physical sensations and what's the word I'm looking for? Symptoms as well. Total knee replacement surgery is extreme pain, but I'm sure my mindfulness techniques help me. That's great, Sue. I'm glad that total knee replacement. Ouch. It sounds really, really painful. I'm glad you were able to use mindfulness. Oh, I'm glad the woo-woo teacher. I'm glad I don't fall under the woo-woo category for y'all. All right. So, So let's do the meditation. And if you have physical pain in your body, I'm going to invite you to work with that in the meditation. And if you have a lot of physical pain, just choose one area. If you have no physical pain, lucky you, what you can do is use the strongest sensation that's in your body right now. So you might notice, like, maybe it's your butt on the chair, or maybe there's like pressure of the chair against your back. But the thing that you notice the strongest, because you want to learn the tool so that when you have pain down the road, it's always a when, it's never an if, you will have learned some of the skills to work with it. Okay. All right. So let's settle back and take a breath or two as we connect with our bodies. Hearts and minds, just seeing where we are after I shared all of that. As I mentioned in the talk, it's important not to just force yourself to be present with the pain and think that's what you're doing. So it's helpful to find something that's not in pain as a place of kind of like a soothing place, a resourced place in your body. So check right now in your body if there's any part of your body that feels at ease or even neutral. So this could be your feet. Often people's feet feel pretty good, or your hands. Maybe they feel soothing. It could be your legs. It could be a very small area, but is there some part of your body that feels it's not in pain, that feels maybe even possibly good, at the least neutral? If there's no place in your body that feels soothing or at ease, you have a choice. If you open your eyes, is there something pleasant to look at in front of you that feels good, like maybe looking out the window and that feels soothing? Or you can imagine a time when you felt good or at ease, soothed. Maybe we were on the beach, or you're in your bed, or so something that feels soothing. So let's all focus on an easeful place inside our body, or through sight or memory. And breathe and just feel the goodness of whatever you've evoked. Feel the pleasantness in your hands or feet or the memory image. And now, is there a part of your body in pain? So if it is, or the strongest sensation, bring your attention to that part of the body. Narrow it down if there's many parts, just pick something. And so as you bring your attention there, notice what you feel. There's pressure and heaviness and hardness. Maybe there's stabbing. Maybe it's sharp. Maybe it's itching. So just notice what's here and breathe and see if you can soften a little bit around the part that's unpleasant. Softening and breathing. Okay, now come back to the easy place, the soothing place. You don't want to spend too much time in the difficult place because it can get overwhelming. So just stay with the ease, the soothingness, soothing quality. And now bring your attention back into the difficult area again. And as you notice it, notice what's here. Maybe it's tight or tense or twisting or burning. And as you soften, breathing around it, just letting the body be soft the best you can, notice what happens to it. Does it increase? Does it move? Does it turn into a different sensation? Does it go up the body to the side? What happens to it? Noticing and breathing. Letting whatever is here be here. And then come back to the easy place, the soothing place, or the memory or the image. And breathe. Now, do this at your own pace for a moment, this back and forth, back and forth. And if you're feeling energetic and you really want to stay for a while with the pain, stay with it. If you're feeling like, oh, it's overwhelming, I'm going to stay with the easy place, stay mostly with the easy place, but just a little bit of the noticing of the difficult place. So let's try this just for about a minute or two on our own. And now coming back to the easy place in your body, memory or image, pausing, feeling the nice qualities. Maybe there's vibration or warmth or tingling. Notice now if you have a story about this sensation. What's wrong with me? This always happens. I never should have done such and such. I hate this. I'm scared of it. Notice if there is this second arrow, this overlay about the experience. And see what happens. If you recognize this, just acknowledging it is really healthy. Oh, there's a story I'm carrying. There might even be an emotion here, so you might check. I think there's something wrong with me. What does that feel like inside my body? Can you bring some kindness right now to the whole thing, to the story, the thoughts, the emotions, and then to the physical sensation itself? And you might want to repeat some words like, may I be at ease. May I be healthy and strong? You might want to gently touch that area of your body or put rest your hand on it or above it. What would bring some kindness to the stories and to the feelings and to the sensations? You can know. Maybe there's something you want to say to yourself, like, I'll get through this. Or, I'm strong, I can handle this. It's been hard, but look how far I've come. Breathing, sensing, noticing now that easy place again. One of the practices we like to do is what we call a sidelong glance. So, see if you can stay connected to the part of you that feels good or the memory. And then, as if out of the corner of your eye, you're sensing the painful place. And you just notice that painful place. But yet, you can feel the ease as well. So, letting that expansion happen might be interesting right now to listen to sounds, feel some expansion of your body, and the pain is here too. We're not denying it. There's not something wrong. It is what is. It's just what's happening here and now. Offering some kindness again to the whole experience. And breathing. And now let's feel ourselves, our feet connected to the ground. Take a breath. And when you're ready, you can open your eyes. We did a lot of the things that I talked about in the lecture. We did the awareness, we did finding a place that's not in pain. We did awareness of the physical sensations and sort of going back and forth between the two, which I may not have mentioned so much, but it's actually a really helpful thing to do, especially also with emotional pain. Then we looked at the stories we might be carrying about it. We tried to separate that out. Then we tried to access a place inside us that was deeper than the pain, maybe like a bit more spacious, more open. And, and we may have had varying success with all of it, but these are the mindfulness tools. So I'm seeing some comments in the chat, and I'd love to hear more from people. Let me read what was in the chat. Going back and forth between my soft, non-hurting stomach and my painful cervical spine, I had an interesting reaction. The pain in my neck felt less sharp, less severe, more out of my mind. It's still there, but this was very helpful for me. That's great. Oh, I'm so happy to hear that. Today's talk is my favorite lesson ever from you, Diana. Thank you so much. Yay, I'm planning on putting what I learned into practice. I'm not sure how it'll work when I think about the neurosurgeon who permanently damaged me. Oh, yeah, I'm so sorry. Could I do a session on anger? I have in the past. We could talk about anger. Yeah, but I'm really happy to hear that you felt some relief, Wendy, and the just these tools are so simple, but they work. I mean, that's the miraculous thing. They work. So keep going with it. Thanks. I did feel less in pain as I went back and forth. Yeah. I mean, that's it, it's a tool that I've over the years found very helpful. I'm glad that some of you did. So going back to that point I made at the very beginning, how many people found that their pain got better doing this? You can just raise your hand or stick a, I see the visual people. Okay. Anybody feel that their pain got worse? That usually happens from time to time. Yep. Okay. So I see at least one person. There probably was more. Did anybody find that it stayed the same? There's got to be somebody. So it was going to do one of those three things. And I just want to
Mine
remind
moved,
you.
actually.
Sorry again. I can hear you.
Mine moved,
Yours
actually.
moved. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
It moves, right? It's not, it's like, oh, wait a minute. It changed. It's still painful, but it's over here now instead of there. So just the reminder that this practice isn't about like if you do it, your pain will magically disappear. Remember, it's really about cultivating our ability to be present even in the midst of pain, right? And that is, like I was talking about, the people's ability to tolerate life, their life quality of life improves significantly. So Mariela said, I recognize the second arrow stories that are making my physical issues worse. Great. And so that's something to notice, everybody. Like when you find yourself in pain outside of here, inside of meditation, what stories, what train have you gotten on about the pain? Oh, this is, and it's not even just physical pain, it's with everything. We create stories that often can make it worse. So explore. And that's my invitation to you as you leave here, because we're going to close in a moment, is keep working with this. We'll put this meditation on the app. There is a section on the app that is called Pain. I don't know if anyone's seen it. So since we did a redesign of the UCLA Mindful app, you go down to wellness meditations. And then there's a sleep section. I don't know if you can see it, but anyway, you go to wellness meditations, and then there's a sleep section. Sorry. Oh, I hit the wrong button. Hold on. And then there's a bunch of pain meditations under it, sleep and pain. And I'll have Serena put this one in the pain section too, so you'll have that as well. Wait, all right, last question here. I was having an issue with meditation, mindfulness practice during high points of nerve pain because trying to do kindness practice during those times was so tough. So I started adding in ice therapy and just simply applying ice to areas that was highlighted. It really helped. And by the end of my practice, my pain would decrease significantly. Thank you. I think it's needed everywhere. Great to hear, Krista. And what I love about that is Like I said, mindfulness of pain is not the only solution. It is complementary to everything else that we're going to do. So, ice, fantastic. Medication as needed, physical therapy, all these things, they come together to support us and really to use everything in concert. So. All right. So there's been a question because in a couple of weeks, we do have an upcoming program called Finding Our Footing, which is, I forget when it is. It's in September. September 23rd. And it's going to be in this time slot. And I'm going to have a physician, a psychologist, a yoga teacher, and me, and we're going to do something on how to bring mindfulness practices to help us through difficult times that we're facing in the world, right? Like, how can these practices help? So we'll have the perspective of psychologist, a physician, talking about stress and how do we work with it, and then we'll do some yoga and stuff. And it'll be our normal Wednesday class will be that. So you can register for it in advance, or you can just show up as you normally do. But that's what's going to be in the middle of September, and that's the link to it. And then, in addition, we don't have a lot going on right this second, but we do have, I think we've announced it, our UCLA Mindful 20th anniversary celebration. That's happening October 24th. We're calling it like a mindfulness extravaganza. We're going to have a whole day of practices with all these different teachers outside and inside. So if you want to come to UCLA, I know some of you are local. I know a lot of you are not. Sorry, but you can always come for it. It's going to be really fun. That's October 24th. And lastly, I have a retreat coming up at the end of August, which is an in-person retreat, but they've opened up an online option. So that's something, all this was in our newsletter. So if you want to do a 4-day retreat from home and you can kind of do it in your own schedule, just show up at different times, that's possible. And if you're curious and you're not sure and you want to check in with me about it, send me an email. Okay. All
Why do we
right.
register for October 20th?
For the 24th, we haven't put the registration out right now to save the date, but we'll have a registration in a couple of in a week or so. All right, so Serena will put in all our normal things and of what's coming up. Our Mondays, Tuesdays, Wednesdays, Thursdays, meditation. And I really want to send out lots and lots of loving kindness to those of us who are dealing with pain. I hope this is helpful and we'll keep going here. We'll keep learning more. All right, thanks everyone. You can go off mute and say goodbye, and I'll see you in a few weeks.
Thanks for listening to the UCLA Mindful Weekly Lecture. For more information about our classes, workshops, and retreats, please visit uclahealth.org/UCLA Mindful. Join us each week for a new session on mindfulness.